Blog Talk Radio.
Although sometimes life throws you a curveball and life's problems may cause you to pause, Life with Michelle will help you heal and get through it all. Because she is helping, all push past yield. She will make it a good day to smile. She will make it a good day to laugh. She will make it a good day to live. Mixing all life's experiences in a bundle of love. She will guide you to the road of happy. Because all is well on Life with Michelle, the Queen of Happy.
Welcome to Life with Michelle of Mia Happy Life Coaching. I am your host, Ms. Michelle E. Alford, and I am excited as always to come on air and have a great discussion with you. Today's topic is for give yourself so you can elevate. I want to talk about some of the elements or some of the things that you need to do to elevate yourself beyond your past life, your past circumstances, your past situations. My motto of my company, of Mia Happy Life Coaching, is helping all push past yield. And this is what we are here to do, to help you push past the yield point in your life. And I'm hoping that today will just give you some insight on some of the things that you need to do to start your life anew. While we don't just get right into it, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this topic for today, this discussion, is because a lot of times people don't realize that the reason why they can't move forward in their life is because they're dwelling on the things of their past. They're dwelling on the things that they used to do, and they're dwelling on the things that that people will not forgive them for. A lot of times it's so easy for people to remind you of the things that you used to do. Even if you've made the decision in your own life to change for the better, there are those people out there would love none other than to just keep you in the position of where you used to be and constantly dwell on the things you used to do. I'm going to give you some great tips today, and we're going to be coming from some scriptures today as well. Again, I want to reiterate, this is not a religious discussion, but it is, you know, nothing really, you can't really truly have a discussion without bringing the Most High in it. But, again, I want to speak to the general population of those who, you know, certainly we believe in a higher power. But we're not pushing religion. We're just expressing ourselves spiritually, physically, mentally, and professionally, and so that we can help all of you great, great people who want to move forward on in their lives to a greater existence. And I believe in higher power. I believe in the Most High and the Almighty God. So, therefore, my discussions will always be surrounded and infused with spirituality. So, with that being said, let me just get right into it. I'm going to give you 11 steps to forgiving yourself. It's important for you first to forgive yourself for the things that you have done or that were not so pleasing in the size of in the eyes of God and yourself and the people surrounding you. I'm going to start off first saying that everybody that has walked the face of the earth, I don't care if it's the most sanctified, most holy, rolling person on this earth, we all have done something that we're not necessarily proud of. And, you know, people like to measure indiscretions, but an indiscretion is an indiscretion. A sin is a sin, no matter how white or how black it is. If it goes against the grain of truth and you know, the accuracy, or you know, goes against the palette of just laying, being on a clean slate. If you got a little stain or something going on there, you know, it is what it is. Sin is sin. And, you know, we've all done it. We've all lied for someone, even whether it's for a good reason or not. We've all lied, told the untruth, or however you want to call it. We've all misled someone or done something just wasn't right. So with that being said, we all, you know, I had to get that out there to let everybody know that, you know, we all, the Bible, the scripture says that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Most High. So once you understand that we, none of us are perfect beings, you know, there are many of us that live very close to being perfect, but being very close to and being perfect are still two different things. So we're not perfect. And, you know, I'm going on, first, I'm standing up, raising my hand to say that I'm not a perfect person. But I try to live my life in the best way that I can daily. All right, we're going to talk about 11 steps to forgiving yourself, and I'm going to give you 11 steps. But the discussion is talking about today. Forgive yourself so you can elevate. You know, what does it mean to elevate? You know, what does it mean to forgive? Let's define forgive, because a lot of times people put certain things on forgiveness, and you know, they, you know, a lot of times people say, "Well, I'll forgive and I'll forget," but that's not forgiving truly. That is just dismissing and, you know, putting it in reserve in your mind until you get ready to, you know, use it against a person in a future time. But to forgive is to really actually, you know, excuse or pardon a person from a fault or an offense that was done unto them, you know, inflicted by you, to absolve from, you know, payment of debt. You know, there are several definitions to that. But, you know, and here's another one: to cease to blame or hold resentment against something or someone, to grant a pardon for a mistake or a wrongdoing, to free from a pardon from someone else, from penalty, free of obligation. So to stop blaming or grant forgiveness. And in case you don't understand, again, let's use it in a sentence. I forgave him of his infidelity. She cannot forgive him for forgetting her birthday. If you learn how to define words and really, I find it more impactful when you truly understand and break a word down to the science of its meaning, because a lot of times we hear words consistently all the time, so we don't know, sometimes we don't even really and truly know what they mean, the heart of what they mean. We just know people say it all the time, and we repeat it all the time, and not truly knowing the definition for ourselves. But all of those definitions that I just said about forgiving is that you have to pardon yourself from the wrong or the mistakes or the wrongdoings you have done in your past. You have to cease. That means to stop blaming yourself for the things that you have done in your past. So first, that is the beginning of the healing process. You need to get to a place of healing by forgiving yourself of the things that you know you have done wrong in your life. The things that you know you have done to others in your life, you need to, as an individual, get to that point in your life where you're saying that I am able to forgive myself so that I can move on in my life victoriously. All right, now that we know what forgive is, let's define the other word. Let's define the other word, elevate. All right, so many people, I hear so many people just repeating what, you know, the preachers say, the pastors say at church, but they don't truly know what these words mean for themselves. You know, when you elevate, our topic today is about forgive yourself so you can forgive yourself so you can elevate. Okay, let's define elevate. To move something to a higher place or position from a lower one, to lift, to increase the altitude, intensity of, or volume of, to promote to a higher rank, to raise to a higher moral, cultural, or intellectual level, to lift the spirit up. All right. Now that we know what it is to forgive, you see what happens here? If you forgive yourself and get rid of them, to forgive is to get rid of, to X out, to get, you know, to dismiss, to you know, to wash it away completely, so that you can elevate and listen to it, see the balance of the two words. To forgive is to get rid of, and to elevate is to go up higher, to be lifted. All right. You know, to move something to a higher place or position from a lower one. See, from a lower one. When you're in a state of mind of constantly reminding yourself of all the things that you have done wrong, and you don't know how to get past that state of mind, when you need or want to elevate, you automatically just listen to this, you know, a little bit here. When you get rid of something, a weight that something, you know, when you're not forgiving yourself and you're weighed down by your past, you're weighed down. But when you get rid of it, you see, just envision this for a moment here. Go with me for a moment. When you are weighed down, just think of yourself as weighed down by some heavy bricks, and that's, you know, that's your state of existence of not forgiving yourself of your past wrongdoings. But if you decide within yourself, hey, I'm gonna forgive myself and get rid of all of this, guess what? You begin to elevate automatically because you have just release yourself of that heavy burden, that heavy weight, or that heavy state of mind that was weighing you down, and now you're elevated. You begin to elevate, and once you forgive yourself, that is yourself being healed of your past. Yes, you have to be healed from your past so that you can elevate to a higher height and a deeper depth. And you into a higher place or position from the lowest point that you were in your life, you have to do that. Learn how to do that. Let's go over the 11 steps to forgiving yourself. All right, and we're going to go. We're actually going to use a scripture. If you would turn to, again, this is not a religious. And I say that because I want people to know that a lot of times people can't relate to religious messages. But you got to understand that the world does not exist without the Almighty. So when we have a discussion, it's just inevitable that the word is going to be somewhere up in the mix somewhere. All right. I have, I'm going to read this scripture, Psalm 51:3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that ye may be found just with when you speak and blameless when you judge. All right. Let me read that, the fifth verse. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. All right. So the first thing first is that we all were born into this world, not as perfect beings, not as people who were meant to be perfect or without sin. We were born in sin and in iniquity. We were conceived in that. So that was a part of our natural process and path anyway. All right. But let's get down to the gist of what's going on here. All right. We're going to take it from here. We've all blown it sometimes. We've all sinned. We've often, been grievous towards someone else. We have wreaked havoc in some places. And that's what I was talking about earlier. We have all done something. Even the most perfect person in your eyesight we have all done something that we are not proud of. We have may have inadvertently or directly hurt other people in ways that we probably wouldn't necessarily want to hurt them in, but we have. And the scripture I just read, as David said in Psalm 51, my sin is ever before me. However, unlike David, sometimes we can't seem to move on. You know, a lot of times people can recognize the things that they have done in their past, and they would be so, just really punishing themselves for that wrongdoing. And you can allow others to continue to punish you for the things that you have done. And people will keep you in that state of mind, constantly reminding you that you are not a perfect person. But the thing is the truth of the matter is none of us are perfect people, including myself. I like to think that I'm a great, person to be around. I like to live a happy life. I like to live, a carefree life and just free of confrontation. I'm not a confrontational person. It's just things that I choose to daily exist in my life, not trying to be perfect, but trying to live the best quality of life that I can. But a lot of times people will remind you, even if you've done something 20 years ago, there are some people will try to keep you in that state of mind of always feeling guilty for something that you did a long time ago. And that is not the place you want to be in. If you want to go higher in your life, you have to know within yourself, you deserve a better quality of life no matter what you have done in your life. And, let me just, say this really quickly, because I know some people out here that's going to hear me on the sound of my voice and kind of really twist my words by saying that, I don't believe that you should be punished for what you have done wrong. Yes, but, all punishment comes to an end. Even if somebody is put into prison for something, they do their time and do for the crime, and then they are released. So the same thing should apply to your daily life. If you do something wrong in your life and seek forgiveness, allow yourself to move on. Allow yourself to forgive yourself for what you have done. Don't let another person keep you in the position of always paying for something that you did a long time ago. And I'm not saying just keep on repeating it and saying, forgive me, because that means that you're not coming from a sincere place. But what I am saying, if you've done something in your life that you're not proud of, allow yourself to move on from it. All right, and this discussion says we cannot enjoy the blessings of the Most High if we don't move on with a better life. How do you overcome that? How do you overcome being consistently, just held down in just a low place in your life because you can't forgive yourself? It's not just always, a lot of times people think the solution is just going to church, but it's not just about going to a church. It's about having an experience with the Almighty. You have to have a change of heart and a change of mind, and you have to affirm in your own life that you want a better life or you have a better life. you know, it's not easy enough. When we read that scripture, Psalms 51 and 3, my sin is ever before me. Just think about that, just that one little line. What it's saying, my sin is ever before me. Ever before me. If you allow people to keep what you've done ever before you, oh, yeah, she broke into, she stole some candy from the candy store in 1992. And here it is, it's 2012. And the only thing a person can say or mention about you, other than the things that you have accomplished thus far in your life, is the only thing that they can mention about you. You remember when Sally Sue stole that candy out of the store in 1992? That is perhaps a person you necessarily do not need to continue to be around. You have to love people from a distance. I'm not going to tell you not to love them or not to care for them, but you have to. Last week in my last show, we talked about toxic relationships, and that sometimes you have people that even say that they love you and love you dearly that are not good for you as an individual. They're not good for the to help you elevate or, you know, grow in your life. And just like, you know, if you have some weeds among flowers, if you're trying to be a flower and a person in your life is trying to be a weed, eventually they're going to choke you out. And guess what? You are going to perish spiritually yourself, because this person is just really just not good for you and your life and the growth in your life. So you have to come to that standpoint and understand and to realize that we, you know, it's a lot of people that I love, but it's not a lot of people. You know, a lot of those same people, I don't break bread with them every day. I can still love them, but I don't break bread with them, because their mere conversation is negative. Their life is negative. They choose to be in doom and gloom. You heard the old cliche that said, you know, a misery loves company. There are a lot of people, unfortunately, there are a lot of people when they're unhappy in their lives, and if they're unforgiving of their own selves or the things that they've done, they want some company. They want somebody to fellowship with them in their misery. And you can't allow that. You know, I hear so many people say, you know, I want to elevate it. I want to make it to the top. I want to be on top. I want to be the next Oprah. I want to be the next, you know, Tyler Perry. I want to be the next, you know, you name a whole lot of people, but I want to be the next. But guess what? If you allow yourself to not grow beyond your circumstances, you can never be the next either of them. You will never elevate to that next point in your life, or if you don't allow yourself to grow and free yourself of your past life. All right, in the past, we've looked at what forgiving ourselves means. Now, we need to ask how we can practically and actually accomplish it. Here are 11 practical steps to take in order to forgive yourself. All right. Number one, first of all, you have to own your sin, and meaning that recognize what you have done is wrong. You know, you may have a laundry list of things you have done that are wrong. Recognize it, own up to it, admit to yourself, now, you know, this right here, what I've done, it wasn't right. You have to sincerely, you know, own that sin. That's step number one, because you have to recognize what it is that you have done wrong in order for you to release it and let it go. That makes sense? All right. It doesn't matter what anyone else did or how angry they made you. You weren't supposed to sin or react in the way that you reacted. Therefore, you can't justify your sins with someone else's behavior, because you have to own your own behavior and own what part you play in whatever the situation was that was wrong. You have to own up to your part. Just like anybody in a couple in a relationship. We have, you know, and I'm not really going to cover relationships. That'll be another show. But if you're in a relationship with somebody and the both of you have an argument of just say, you know, over finances, you have to you know, own up to what your part was in the indiscretion or whatever the situation was. And because it's so easy for you to say, oh, he's the fault or I'm the fault, but the both of you are in a relationship. Sometimes just a mere argument or not hearing your partner, you know, out and through, because it's not necessary that your partner want to go against what you thought about. Sometimes it's just, you know, everybody has a different way of perceiving things. Everybody has a different way of interpreting things. So hear your partner out and say, you know, let me hear your side of the story, and let's, you know, let's come somewhere in the middle and come to an agreement. I guarantee you, if more couples just really sat down and just heard each other out without interruption, there will be a lot of arguments that will be diffused right away if we just listen to one another and truly listen to what they have to say. Even if you don't think you're going to agree with what they have to say, listen to them, and you can eliminate a whole lot of problems before they even get started. You know, there are so many ways, so many things that we can do to just, you know, to make our own situation work, you know, make our own relationships happy. You know, I'm going to move on because I'm going to get into talking about relationships more, because that's something that I'm passionate about talking about, because I believe in the beauty of relationships. I believe in the beauty of love, and I think that more people should try a little bit harder to secure love and nurture love more. You know, there are just many ways, and we'll talk about that in another show, but let's get back on point with forgiving yourself, steps to forgiving yourself. Own your sin. We're going to read Ephesians 4 and 26 only. And again, this is not a religious segment, but there is no way possible that when you begin to talk about life that you cannot have God up in there somewhere. All right, Ephesians 4 and 26. And then, you know, I may have a different Bible than you are, but, you know, I have the New King James Version Bible. But I'm going to read Ephesians 4 and 26 very quickly, and then we're going to move on. It says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." All right. Whew. You know, literally, a lot of times when I told you earlier, you have to break down the science of words and understand what they mean. A lot of times people, they just blow up over, you know, a word. You can be consistently hearing a word all the time throughout your life and think it means something else, but then when you finally decided to look it up in the dictionary, it means something totally different. So I'm going to say continue to break down the science of the words, but sometimes phrases in the Bible, it says, "Be angry, but sin not." That is saying right there, it's okay, you know, we can get upset, but sin not. And some of you might be saying, you know, how can you possibly be angry and not sin? There is a way that you can be upset about something but not go over the top about it. When you sin, that means that you have gone over the top about it. Baby, if let me go back to the relationships again, because that seems to be the main thing. A lot of times there are situations, you know, confrontational situations are always when you're in a relationship, whether in a romantic relationship or just in relationships with people on a daily basis. You get into a situation where you disagree with somebody and you just take it over the top and calling them out of their name and, you know, everything but a child of God. That is sin, and that is taking it over to the top. You could be upset because somebody did something that you did not like or that you disapprove of. You know, this is what the scripture is saying. You can be upset about it. It's all right to be upset about it. But when you take it to the next level and you call them all so-and-sos and blah, 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 you know, that is really taking it over to the top, and you have gone to a place where you probably are going to have to ask for some forgiveness up in there from that person, because a lot of times we can blow up and explode over something that could have been resolved just by you know, just paying closer attention and just, you know, really just hearing a person out. And even if, like I say, even if a person is wrong or you may not agree with what they have to say, sometimes it's all in the way how you handle stuff. You know, we take things to a whole new level, and we ruin friendships, relationships, family connections. We burn bridges, and we knock down walls, and it's just so many things we do if you know, explode and you let our temper rule our intent, rule our heart to, you know, harming a person or doing something toward a person that we say we love, but our words can be really hurting and just be something that, you know, just make a person go into a place of lowness, you know, especially if they look up to you. If you say something to a person and, you know, say something that's wrong, I mean, that's straight up wrong, and say something to them and they happen to be, you know, see you as somebody that, you know, that they deem as special or they truly love or respect, and you allow yourself to explode and begin to speak in a way that they disapprove of, that you can really, you know, hurt a person's life or misdirect a person's positive life that they're leading them, because they have faith in you. They look up to you. Just like in the churches when people, and I'm not going to, you know, speak on this too long, but, you know, a lot of times people put so much faith in leaders. And leaders, when they fall, they forget, people forget that these are human people. Yes, we hold them in a higher standard, and yes, they should be walking in a higher standard, and because they're leading other people. But sometimes the reality of it is that they are human, and they will fail, and they will, you know, have to seek forgiveness from, you know, other people. But when that happens, that also hurt the people that look up to them or who are not perhaps as strong enough to say, well, hey, you know, I'm going to continue going on strong even though he is in a weak moment in his life. People, there are still people who need to grow into who they are and, you know, whether their walk is in the Most High and all of that. So those are things we got to be careful about how we live our life each and every day. But to getting back to step one, own your sin. Understand that you have a part in every situation that you are involved in that does not go right or does go right. You are the element in that situation. You just have to know that and own it. All right, step number two, own all your sinning. Now, I know step one and two sounds the same, but there's a distinct difference there, and I'm going to explain it right now. A lot of times, there are some people who will say, okay, you know, I'll admit I did this, but I ain't really do that, and I ain't really all that bad. You know, if you those kind of statements, that means a person is not owning up to everything that they have done wrong. There are some people who are willing to admit to a small indiscretion, but not to a big indiscretion and knowing that it's just like criminals. When they get caught and the police say, you know, have them in an interrogation, and they get to say, yeah, I was there. That's admitting owning up to that little small sin. Yeah, I was there, but I ain't do it. You know, it's the same thing. So it's, that's why it's necessary to put a distinction between the two. Own all your sinning. Because that is the only way you're going to be able to forgive yourself. You have to really be truthful with yourself. You have to go within yourself and allow yourself to stand before the mirror and just show everything and lay everything out on the table. And I don't care how painful it may be. If you don't own up to all your sinning, it ain't no use in you saying, forgive me, because you're going to resort back to doing what you used to do and always be in the place of not forgiving yourself, because you were never truthful with yourself in the first place. But step two is owning all your sinning. You know, and this is not about you know, even if you're in a confrontation with another person, it's not about this other person. It's about you, where you're trying to get to in your life. We're talking about forgiving yourself so you can elevate. if you want to change the way you're living, if you want to go higher in your life, if you want to be more successful, if you want to be happier, if you want to be peaceful, if you want to be in a loving relationship, all of this has to go, you know, has to start with you. It ain't got nothing to do with nobody else. If you don't start with you, you can't even go to the next level with anybody else. You will never make anybody else happy if you're not happy yourself. So number two is owning all your sin. We don't have a scripture for that, but you just know that, you know, you can't own up to a little piece of wrongdoing and still have this big mountain of wrongdoing that you got going on. It just don't work like that. It has to be all of you or nothing at all. All right. Step number three, accept yourself where you are. Step number three is very important because so many people are always comparing their life to another person's life. Well, she is here, and you don't know what she had to do to get there. You don't know what she had to endure, or he or she had to endure to even be at the place they are in their life. Stop comparing your life to another person's. Allow yourself to be on your own path, walk in your own path, because, baby, trust me, if you allow yourself to walk and be on your own path and accept where you are in your life, then you will definitely get exactly what you desire in your heart, what you deserve in your life, or what you're seeking in your life. Just don't do that to yourself. You're really hurting yourself when you say, "Oh, Michelle, she got it going on. She got 5 cars and 50 houses and, you know, multimillionaires." You know, just if you start thinking about what I got in comparison to you. And trust me, you know, just because a person has a lot of material things, that don't mean they got it going on. It doesn't. If you don't have the peace of God or the strength within yourself, or if you can't love somebody else in spite of their position in life, if you can't entreat people with kindness and you know, outside of them being, you know, celebrity or affluent people, then, you know, that's nothing. You know, it takes a beautiful person to be able to love people from where they are in their lives. At the same time, you know, I may be up here, you may be right there, and he may be down here. But it takes a beautiful person to be able to love every person at the stage of life they're in, no matter what. You know, it's not important for me to know a lot of celebrities, or it's not important for a lot of people to know my name. But what is important is that people know me for who I am and what I stand for. That's what's important to me. But number three says, accept yourself where you are in your life. You are a person that was born in sin. We all were. We established that earlier, just like me. You might as well accept it. But if you are like me, you want to fight against that. You want to be something else. You want to be perfect. You want to be the example for everyone else. You think that's the only way to be pleasing to God is to be something other than what you are. I got a scripture for that, Mark 2:17. Let me go to that right now. It's very important for you to be exactly who you are. You know what? You have to look at yourself and tell yourself you're wonderful. You know, I am wonderful. You know, affirm that thing of who you are as an individual. Because a person who loves themselves, love the creation that God has created, you're able to render that love to other people just without effort. You know, it's just something that comes naturally to you, because if you understand the beauty of what God created in you, if you get up to the point in your life where you understand the beauty and accept the beauty in you, accept where you are in your life, you know, you can put a smile on your face even in the moments where you don't feel like smiling. When you begin to think on that and that alone, a smile begins to just overshadow you. You know, it's just, I can't even explain sometimes, you know, I've been in positions where I just didn't feel like smiling. I think I wrote on Facebook the other day that, you know, I do admit that sometimes, you know, life will throw you a curveball and you can be happy one day, and the next thing something happens, and then you can just bring your spirits totally down. But you have to be in a position within yourself spiritually to say, hey, I have, let me get my 2 moments of wobbling in this situation, but I got to get up because I enjoy smiling. I enjoy being happy. I enjoy loving. And, you know, just when I begin to think on those things, even when I'm having a bad day and I start thinking about the wonderful things and just being alive another day, you know, that smile begins to just radiate my spirit. It's just like I become a beam of sunshine. Oh, you know, and it's all in the comfort of my own home. I just, you know, really just light up, allow myself to access myself and just, you know, find that happy space and just, you know, illuminate it. Just turn it on like a switch. Just turn it on, you know, no matter what I'm going through. But let's read Mark 2 and 17 very quickly. And I'm reading again from the New King James Version Bible. It's a good study Bible for me. You may have, you know, slightly different, you know, the way it's saying, but that's all right because it's all saying the same stuff, same things. That's Mark, and I'm going to read this very quickly. Again, this is not a religious show. It's, again, you really can't really speak about life without including something about the Most High. You just can't do it. It's just, you know, we use poetry as well. You know, God said he'll use whatever he will to bring about his point. And that's all I'm doing. You know, I'm just being, allowing myself to be a vessel to bring about a point. And I want to help some people push past you. That's all I'm doing. All right, Mark 2 and 17. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well and have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. All right. Enough said. But anyway, just getting back to when you refuse to accept yourself where you are in your life, you are like a person hiding, a gaping wound from the doctor you are visiting. It just here's how that scripture says: if you are not sick, you always don't have need for a physician. So, but there are a lot of times people who are wounded, and this is just an analogy. There are people are wounded spiritually, mentally, physically, and they allow themselves to just hide, and they won't accept, okay, I've been wounded, but I need a doctor. Just listen to me. A lot of people are in a position where they are at their lowest in their life, and they know they need help. But they won't do it because they don't want to accept that they are where they are in their lives. They want to make it seem like they're somebody that they're not. They want to make it appear to everyone else that I'm not hurting, that I'm not going through it, that I'm not in pain. But you have to know, accept where you are in your life and say, hey, I want to change my disposition and change my life. So I need to get help. Not everybody around you is going to be able to help you, but when somebody around you, you take a peek and you see somebody over there that's saying that they want to help somebody get beyond where they used to be in their life, and they want to help you, you know, they not charging you or asking you to pay them $5,000 for you to pray for them and all of that. You got to cue into that and say, hey, there's the physician right there. And that this is an analogy. There's a physician right there who says that they're willing to heal people that are sick because that's their calling. You have to know, you know, be able to see. A lot of people were trying to follow the person, that popular person, but there is somebody that's in your midst that everybody may not know their name. Everybody may not know what they, you know, all about. But when people are around them, they know who they are, what they stand for, what they're doing in their life. You can see the evidence of God moving in their life. That's somebody you want to say, hey, wait a minute now, I'm wounded. And he or she says she's a physician and she's willing to help all push past, you know. Come on, somebody. You know, you have to understand that. You have to accept where you are in your life and say, hey, I want to get beyond this. And if I need somebody to, you know, like Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so or, you know, to get me there. You got to get, you know, hey, I need to be there. Help me, you know. But, again, you know, number three is so important. Just accept where you are in your life and allow yourself to, you know, if you need a little help, don't be ashamed to do that, because guess what? The person, even me as a life coach, I've walked in some of the shoes of many of the people that, you know, I coach, and I've walked in their shoes. Would you want to be working with a life coach who ain't never been through nothing? No. You know, I was hearing a minister, an apostle minister the other night, and I just came across his live stream. So he was saying he can't even have a conversation with a person trying to, you know, give him a word when they ain't never been through something, been through anything. How do you know God is good? Or how do you know that God could pull you out of something if you've never been through nothing? And that makes sense. I wouldn't want to, you know, I don't coach people on things that I've never walked through myself or necessarily or had some type of connection with or an experience with, because I think it's very important that a person understands that you know exactly what they're going through, and you can, you know, because you have overcome it and you have been, you're living victoriously from that past thing, that you can help them get out of it because you've done it. And that's awesome to be able to have a testimony like that, to be able to help people from where they are in their lives, because you've walked through it and you've been through it. I want to say you've been through the fire and the flames, and you've been through the storm and the rain, but now you're standing dry in the sunshine, all right, and got a smile on your face. You have to understand that. All right, we're going to keep it on going on step here. There are 11 steps. Number four, mourn the loss of your ideal self. You have a picture of your ideal self, and you know, and it's now gone. Let's face it, there will never be a day that you can look back on your life and say, I didn't sin. There will never be a day like that. There's none or nothing that can change it. Once you've accepted that you can mourn the loss of your ideal self, you can mourn your own unrighteousness. This morning is important, as Jesus said in Matthew 5:4. We're not going to go to that scripture, but you can at a later time for yourself. It is the mourners who will be comforted, but you can't have the comfort if you don't first mourn. You have to allow yourself to cry sometimes, even in your current situation. You have to allow yourself. Have you ever noticed in those moments when you had to cry about something that you were going through or enduring? If you ever notice that sometimes after you have cried, just something in your spirit makes you feel like everything is all right. It's just like once you release those tears, that things are now great and grand for you. It makes you feel like that. So allow yourself to mourn the loss of your ideal self. You know, mourning is the process by which we may say we say goodbye to something that we wanted to hang on to. As hard as that is, it is this goodbye process that sets us free to move on. When we say goodbye to the things that we did wrong, and when we say goodbye to our past, that sets us free to move on. Remember that analogy I gave you earlier? You have to, you know, the balance of you weighed down with a ton of bricks, but you release those bricks and let them go, you automatically elevate. You set yourself free to move on and elevate. And we define elevate, and that means to go to move to a higher place or position from a lower point, to lift up, to increase, to promote to a higher rank, to raise to a higher moral or cultural or intellectual level. Wow. If you allow yourself to do those things, whew, release it and let it go. mourn it, but move on from it. All right, let's keep it going here. Sit in those feelings of sadness. Don't medicate them with addictions, acting out fantasies or more lies. In other words, don't add on to the problem. Some people, they can go through something, endure something, and then they add on by lying about the situation, and that lying adds more onto the problem, and more lying, then you have to, tell another lie to keep up with that lie. So you're just packing on more problems, more weight. Let it go. Own your sin. Accept who you are and what you've done. Then mourn the loss of that ideal self. Get away from that old self and allow yourself to move on and elevate. Forgive yourself. And this is a process. These steps are a process that you're going through. Remember that. Everything in our life is a process. We have to allow our process to take place in our life, because if we do not, we'll miss a step. And you'll find yourself stuck in a position. Step number 5, humble yourself. All right, and the scripture basis for that is Matthew 5:5. The Most High, the Great I Am, says the meek are blessed. That is, the humbly submissive are blessed. This point seems counterintuitive. It seems to be a paradox. You probably think you are humble because you are heaping all kinds of misery on yourself. It just means that you're miserable, not humble. Actually, if you are in Christ, or not forgiving yourself is a display of utter arrogance. You somehow think that you are such an awful sinner that you stand out head and shoulders above the rest. Your sinning is so powerful that it defies the powerful grace of the Most High. The Most High could forgive David when he committed adultery and murdered Uriah. God was powerful enough to forgive Manasseh for all of his idolatry, human sacrifice, and sin. God was powerful enough to forgive Peter his denials and Paul his persecution and murder. But your sins are so big that you are too powerful for even God. Humble yourself and accept God's forgiveness. If God can forgive you, you can forgive you. Let me say that one more time. If the Most High can forgive you, then you can forgive yourself, because you are not greater than God. People, forgive yourself. Allow yourself to elevate to the next level. Elevate to the next level in your life. Accept the grandness of life that is awaiting you. If you only allow yourself to be forgiven, allow yourself to forgive yourself of your past, because your past is your past. It's not your past if you keep dwelling in it. You're beating yourself across across the head and saying, "Oh my goodness, I don't know why I did this, and I don't know why I did that." But you have to know that you are not greater than the Most High. So if the Most High can forgive you, then you can forgive you. Step number 6: bring your sins to the Most High and embrace His promises. All right. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures, Luke 18:13, Hebrews 10:19-23, Proverbs 28:13, Ezekiel 18:23. You read those in your leisure times, but you have to know that when you take your burdens to the Most High and leave them there, just think about it. When you take something to somebody and leave it there and forget about it, you're able to just keep on moving forward from it. That's exactly what you need to do with your sins and your problems. Take them to the Most High, leave them there, and don't go back to your old ways, and allow yourself to keep on moving forward in your life and excelling and elevating to the successful person, woman, or man of standards that you wish to be. You can be that and more. But make sure number 6 is bring your sins to God and embrace His promises. His promises is that He is a forgiver of sin, and He will forgive your transgressions. One thing about it, if anybody doesn't, when God says He's forgiven you, He's forgiven you, and He does not go back on his word. So remember that. So stop beating yourself up with your past and allow yourself to forgive yourself, to elevate. Elevate to the next level in your life. Step number 7, we're going to go through very quickly because it's 7:54, and we got a little bit more time left. But let's take it here, take it here, take it here. Number 7, confess your sins to another person. Now, I'm going to take it to this point is that if you have done something to hurt somebody that you know, even if they don't realize it, you need to confess that to that person and ask for forgiveness so you can, and not for them, just so you can forgive yourself. Because a lot of times the reason why we hold on to the things that we've done, because we don't confess and we don't allow ourselves to rid ourselves of those things done in the dark because we've done it towards someone else who may not be aware of it. But, you know, this could be a problem or issue. You may end up losing that friendship or that connection. But if you confess to another person, because a lot of times it's just the guilt we're holding on to with regards to that person that we're dealing with that keeps us in a stagnant position in that one place. So allow yourself to ask for forgiveness from that person so that you can be free of the burden that you're carrying, you know, of not forgiving yourself and you know, for the sin that you have done or the for that indiscretion or what have you. Number 8, stop comparing yourself to others. We had talked about step number 8 early on a little bit. Stop comparing yourself to others. A lot of times, so many people, guess what? There will always be somebody ahead of you. There will always be somebody behind you. Just know it's in life that you will always be in between somebody's low point and somebody's high point. But you got to get to the point in your life where you're saying that you're trying to find your high point in life and go from there and keep going until you reach the goal. That's my biggest piece of direction that I can give you on that. When you stop comparing your life to others, then you will see how wonderful and how great a thing that the Most High is trying to do in your life and where He's trying to take you. Don't focus on how fast she's getting or how, because again, you never know what another person is enduring to get where they are in their life. So remember that, and you'll learn how to be accepting of who you are and accept where you are in your life and continue to elevate in your life because of you have recognized where you and accepted where you should be in your life, and you're no longer comparing your life to another person, but you're walking in your own path and accepting that path and smiling along the way. That's all I can say. You know what? I'm one of those people that love to smile. And don't get me wrong, there are times, there are things that occur in my life that gives me reason not to smile. But I smile anyway because I know once I put a smile on my face, there is just a divine illumination that roars through my spirit. And this bring me back to life, and I no longer think about the thing that was bothering me because that smile, just that little piece of happy, that little piece of just persevering, just knowledge of knowing that if I just smile, my disposition would change, the aura around me would change, my whole way I'm looking at things will change, and I'm elevated in my spirit because I put a smile on my face in spite of my circumstances. All right, now number 9, quit punishing yourself. And some of these sound like we're going, for the same situation, but when you think about it, you have to expound more because we have to constantly remind you when you go into the process of forgiving yourself you will get, sometimes people get to a certain point and then they'll resort back to where, you know, that same state of existence. And so we have to constantly remind you, all right, you got to a certain point, but you're trying to go back and think about your past again. So we're saying here, quit punishing yourself. Allow your heart to completely forgive your past. At those moments when you want to heap in condemnation and punish yourself all over again, verbally by something, you know, sometimes we can sabotage our own life. We can do things and, you know, we can have things all great. We say we want a wonderful life and we can do things that just really don't make any sense at all. But you're self-sabotaging. You're doing things to yourself because you know you are now identifying that you have you know, things going on in your life, but you can self-sabotage your life by doing things that you know are wrong and you still do it anyway. You do things that you know that's going to take you back to the place where you used to be or where you once were dealing. You know that it's against God's will of what you're doing, and you still do it anyway. You self-sabotage the process of your success in life because you're allowing yourself to keep going back. All right, I want to go back for it. I want to go for it again. I want to go for it. But then you go back and you say you're self-sabotaging yourself. Stop doing that. Stop punishing yourself. Stop trying to change things and let the process happen the way it should happen. Start affirming things in your life on a consistent basis. Before the show ends, I'm going to share with you some affirmations that you can do on a daily basis to keep yourself from punishing yourself. And then the state of always understanding that you are moving forward and not looking backwards. And I guarantee that, you know, your process will be more divine, more guiding, more, you know, just a more of a smoother transition because you're allowing yourself to continue to go forward. Even when you come across circumstances in your life, you're still not going back but continuously moving forward. If you have learned to say, and I'm not stop punishing myself, forgive myself, so that I can keep elevating and going up and moving forward. All right, we're going to take a very, very brief intermission, and I'm just going to play a little song here, and and then we're going to come back a little bit and weigh in more on our discussion for today. And I want to kind of play our one of our ranking nominees in our Spoken Word Billboard Awards, Miss Elle Renee. And I want to play her track, Reflections, because I think it's very important for us to, you know, once we decide that we want to forgive ourselves, when we reflect, you know, allow yourself to reflect on who you are as an individual and, you know, to just see your heart and your place and where you are in your life, because reflection is a good thing. You know, if we don't reflect in our lives, then we won't be able to truly see the true picture of who we are. So reflection is very important in your life. So I'm going to play this track by Elle Renee, and then we'll come back with more of Life with Michelle on Mia Happy Life Coaching on the Poetic Energy Network Station. On this hour, we're speaking about forgive yourself so you can elevate. All right, we'll be back after this, Detroit and all our global listeners.
make a big mistake, 'cause I want you, baby. You miss out on good loving. I wanna see you, but they only wanna do what I do to you. Take on, wash my love, break it down for you. And I can hardly wait to catch another glimpse through.
That was Miss L. Renee with Reflections. I am so excited about today's show. You're on this hour of Life with Michelle E. Alfred of Mia Happy Life Coaching, and we're talking about forgiving yourself so you can elevate. We've gone through 9 of the 11 steps that I was going to give out to you today. We left off on step number 9, quit punishing yourself so that you can move forward in your life. And we are going to move on to step number 10. See the good that can come from your past sins. That is one of the most important ones, is learning from what you've done in your life. Instead of allowing yourself to keep punishing yourself about the things that you've done wrong in your past, learn from them. The things that we do in our life comes to give us, it's a learning process daily. And life comes to give us life lessons so that we can grow and elevate. If you just understand what life is all about, you will understand that it's an automatic thing that life wants us to elevate and move on forward. So number 2 says, see the good that can come from your past sins. Learn from them, grow from them, change from them. If you were a person that constantly wreaked havoc among people, allow yourself to change from that situation and understand the hurt and pain that must have come from being a person like that, just wanted, you know, just got off on seeing people unhappy in their lives. Allow yourself not to be that person anymore and be a person that advocates peace. Allow yourself to change from being a person that used to gossip and talk about people and really praise and love on people. So learn from your past sins. Learn what those things, the things that you've done wrong in your life, that understand the hurt and harm that you inflict it upon others. And if you truly want to be a person that wants a different life process and wants to live a happier life, more successful life, understand what you have done in your past and understand what you can do to correct those things to be a better person in your life, to live and grow and elevate to being a more kind person, or more, you know, one of the definitions of elevation is to raise to a higher moral, cultural, or intellectual level. Allow yourself to do those things by being a better person, you know, being, you know, just saying, oh, I just I don't need to be the person that I used to be anymore, and I don't choose to be that person. I want to be someone different. I want to be a better person. I want to, you know, be someone that, you know, be reformed from your own way. That's all I can say about that. It's just, you know, just allow yourself to reform. Because, you know, if you don't change, you know, your existence is almost inevitable for a complete demise. You cannot continue to do wrong in your life and to hurt others and inflict pain on others without that coming back on you. Karma is something else. And karma is just really the law and process of reaping and sowing. So if you sowing bad, you're gonna get bad. That's what karma is. It's the growth of reaping and sowing, because, you know, if you're sowing bad, you're gonna reap bad. That's the harvest of it. The karma is the karma of how, you know, reaping and sowing bad is karma, because it comes back to you to punish. And one thing I always tell people, karma comes to punish the right man, and will get the right man or woman all the time. You cannot continue, I mean, even if you think you got away with it, because it keeps going on, you keep going on about your way, doing everything that you possibly can to hurt other people, and you think you're getting away because nothing has happened to you or come back on you yet, just keep on living. Trust me. You know, they say what's done in the dark comes to the light. It's just the same. All of those is the same premise. There is nothing that is done that goes unpunished. There is nothing done in the dark that does not come to the light eventually. You know, there's always a balance of the two. You know, there's a good and a bad. There's a just evil and bad. You know, there's just a balance of two. There's a right and a wrong, the left and the right, a yin and a yang. If you understand what I'm saying, that, you know, there is always a balance of two. You know, it's a balance always, and then you have to repay the other. It's just like batting ball, you know, going back and forth. No, tennis. I say tennis. You hit that little putter and back and forth, and eventually just somebody's got to win. It's going to pay off. You're going to pay off and get what you deserve in the end. You're tossing it back and forth like you're in a game of tennis, but eventually it's going to be point on. You got to get paid for what you've done or what you do in life, no matter who or what you are. I don't care if you're the president of the United States. Even he will, endure things. If he inflicts hurt upon someone else, he's going to get paid for what he's done. And I'm not talking about our president. Don't get me wrong. Somebody just commits, you know, just kind of twist my words up and make it seem like I'm saying something that I'm not. But nevertheless, we're getting off topic a little bit. So let's get down to the final number 11. Keep forgiving yourself no matter what. Keep forgiving yourself. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. Sadly, forgiveness is one of those things that is really a one-time thing. It's going to be something that you will carry with you for probably forever. Because, again, we are human. We are prone to sin and doing things that are not right. But we can allow ourselves and choose to live a quality life and choose to stay on the right path and choose to be better people and choose to live our lives in a certain way. Doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect all the time, but it just means that we go that extra step to make sure we're near perfect. Just to, you know, make sure that we're not hurting other people and doing things against other people. But, you know, Stephanie, I'm going to keep forgiving yourself. But don't keep repeating the same old sins, thinking that, you know, things are going to change in life. You keep repeating sins, that means that you're never sorry in the first place. But allow yourself to forgive yourself for those past things. Move on from it. Don't keep repeating them. Step into a better quality of a life. Allow yourself to elevate. You know, let me just expound on this for a minute. A lot of people say that they want to be successful, but let me tell you some of the things that you need to pay close attention to. There are a lot of times people, they are jealous of another person because they're moving forward in their life and they're excelling in whatever that they're doing. Don't be jealous of that person. The energy, the amount of energy that you spend on hating on that person or being jealous of that person doing their thing and you know, rising to the top, that same energy that you're using to hate on them, you could be using that same energy to do whatever it is wonderful that you can do. And I need you to hear me on this. A lot of times we hold so much hostility and we burn up inside. It eats us up alive to see somebody excelling. Be happy for your brother and your sister. If they're excelling in whatever they do, be happy for them. Allow, if that's something that you want to do, excel. Allow yourself, condition yourself to be removed from that bondage of jealousy or envy, because that's what it is, bondage, because it keeps you bound in position and stagnant, and you can't move forward or elevate because you allow yourself to hate on somebody else. Allow yourself to be that person that says, hey, I'm going to forgive myself, do what it is I need, you know, let go of those past things I've done, get on my path, get out my strategy, get out my pad and my pen and get my strategy together so I can, you know what, elevate to the top. You know, if you want to go forward and do something grand and great, you can't waste your energy on hating on somebody else or trying to bring another sister or brother down when they're, you know, walking in their own path. And again, you never know what a person has to go through to get where they are in their lives. You don't know what I've gone or had to endure to be who I am. You don't know what, you know, the next fellow have done in their life or had to endure to get where they are in their life. Success comes with a slew of pain and hurt and setbacks and all things, disappointment. Success comes with those things. So if you want success, you got to be willing to you know, accept all that comes with that success. And this ain't going to be no peaches and cream all the way through. That just means sometimes, you know, we serve a mighty, mighty God. And if you allow yourself, you if a believer, it just means that, you know, even though you have to go through some things, you have a source, a power and strength that can help carry you through your process without going through, just that downtrodden feeling, because you know that you have an almighty and powerful God by your side. But for those people who don't know that, they give up and give in. Some people committing suicide, drinking themselves to death, smoking themselves to death, you know, doing all kinds of things to themselves because they don't know how to believe and go through and elevate to the next level because they can't let go of their past sins. They don't know how to do it. But when you have God in your life, when you have a higher power in your life, the Most High you're serving in your life, and again, this is not about religion. This is about spirituality, just being spiritually connected to the divine and understanding that you as a person, as an individual, that we have the power within us. We have been given the power already to be who we desire to be in our lives. If we want to be successful, You got to know what it is and accept that process of what it is to be successful. But you got to start doing and making some changes within yourself, because a successful person can't be bogged down with, you know, oh, well, it's me, and, the things that I have done in my life, I can't let them go, so, you know, I can't forgive myself. Man, you have to let it go. Let it go. All right. I have enjoyed this discussion today, and I'm going to give you some affirmations. I don't want to tell you to let it go and don't tell you how to stay in that moment of letting it go and moving forward. We have been talking about forgiving yourself to elevate. You know, if you want to go ahead in your life and grow in your life, you got to get rid of some of the things you used to do. Get rid of those things that you, how you interact with people. How your business practices. You know, a lot of times we have business great ideas and we don't execute those things is because we're holding on too much of our old selves. We're holding on to our unprofessional selves, because a lot of us are unprofessional. So you got to let that go, and you got to, understand and polish yourself up and say, hey, let me polish myself up and let me walk the walk and talk the talk, you know, so people can take you serious about who you are and what you're trying to achieve in your life. Because people can't take you serious if you don't take your own self serious. So allow yourself to do that. You know, once you gotten to the point of forgiving yourself, of everything, just put it all out, everything, you know, whatever's in your basket, go dump it and let it wash away and keep on moving in your life. Let me give you some affirmations that you can implement in your life. A lot of people think that affirmations do not work. I live by affirmations because your words are powerful. You can say something today and don't realize that you really affirming that thing to be true to your life, and when it happens, you don't understand that you made it happen because of your words. That's why I'm very careful of what I say and how I say it, because I truly believe, you know, just pay attention next time when you say something, you know, your words, you say something, and that actually happens. You're like, wow, I did say that. That's because you had some faith in. And say, you know, you really truly believe what you were saying out of your mouth. You said it with so much conviction that, you know, that thing came to pass. So allow yourself to understand what affirmations is. If we can try everything else, why not try something positive with affirming things to be real in your life, true to your life? And I'm not talking about no wrongdoings or, you know, trying to take somebody else's husband out of affirming, oh, that man is my husband. You know, when he married to somebody else, that, you know, God ain't got no hand in that. But forgiveness, I'm going to give you some forgiveness affirmations so that you can stay on the track of forgiving, because we had established already earlier that we are, you know, because we are human, we're going to be forever having to be in that position of forgiving ourselves, but not necessarily for the same things, because life goes on and we come across certain circumstances or situations that we allow ourselves to get involved in, but we do have a way out, and that is to ask for forgiveness and go to the Most High and say, hey, look, you know, I've done this and I want to get rid of this. Please forgive me and help me to move on in my life. Help me accept who I am in my life and where I'm going in my life. But help me stay on the path of your righteous, you know, your righteous path and the moral path that you would have me to walk upon. And I use the word moral because a lot of, you know, again, this is not a religious segment. But, you know, again, nothing is nothing without the presence of the Most High in it. That's all I can say. All right. So here's one of the affirmations, forgiveness affirmations. That's what these are, because there are different types of affirmations. And because if you're walking in the state of forgiveness, if you're trying to forgive yourself for your past wrong, allow yourself to change by first changing your mind. And training and conditioning your mind and feeding your mind affirmations helps you stay in that position of forgiving yourself and ultimately elevating yourself to a higher moral and intellectual standard. All right. Number one, the past is gone. I live only in the present. That's affirmation number one. Affirmation number two, I live in the now and design my future. The past has no effect on my present. And, you know, I love this one because, again, if you design your future by saying, hey, you know, I'm taking this stand and I'm getting rid of my past so I can elevate myself in my own life, you have to know that you're designing. You know, if you start writing down, you know, I want this to take place in my life, I want that to take place in my life. And remember, God has already, you know, put the plan in place, but make sure you get on scale with what his plan is for your life. And you know that your past has no effect on your present. You have to know that. I love that affirmation. So let me say it one more time before I go on to the next one. I live in the now and design my future. The past has no effect on my present. Affirmation number three, I follow the principle of life, and I let life live, and I live my life. Number four, I forgive myself for being imperfect like everybody else. However, unlike most people, I am living the best life that I can. The next one, as I forgive myself, it becomes easier to forgive others. The next one, as I follow the path of forgiveness, life becomes a new clean slate on which I can draw my new life plan as I wish. All right, the next one. Each day is a new opportunity. Today is the first day of my new life. And you have to, you know, let me expound on that for a minute. You have to know that every day the Most High allows you to wake up. You start a day with a new opportunity to correct the wrongs that you have done and to move forward. Just, you know, the opportunity. Life is an opportunity. It's a gift. It's a blessing. We got to stop taking life for granted and know that every day that we awake in the morning, today, yesterday, tomorrow, none of those days are promised to anyone. But every time he allows us to wake up, another day is a new opportunity for you to live a better life. All right. I forgive everyone for my life in the past and love myself into the future. I forgive everyone from my life in the past and love myself into the future. All right, let me expound a little bit on this one. Once you start forgiving yourself, you've got to forgive all those people you said that have done you wrong. Forgive them. You know, it's because that you have to move on in your life. You have to forgive them. Don't hold on to those past hurts. Move on in your own life. You can take on and love yourself into a better future. All right, the next one, I move beyond forgiveness to understanding, and I have compassion and kindness for all. The last one, I am forgiving, loving, gentle, and kind, and am safe in the knowledge of that life loves me. All right. I'm excited to have done this show today, and you know, I just hope that, you know, all of those that were under the sound of my voice, we had, you know, quite a few people on the switchboard, and I look forward to you accessing the archives so that you can tune into the show. And I want you to live a better quality of life. My motto at Mia Happy Life Coaching is to help all push past yield, ultimately helping you to live a happier life. To be happy in your life, because you can do that. You can have that in your life. Know that I am here for you as your life coach. You can call me at 734-288-7189 and be a happy life coaching from across the globe because I coach people from via Skype, the phone, in person, wherever we need to be. And know that, you know, anything that I'm coaching you on is things that I've been through or have experienced or have came in contact with. So I know where you are in your life. I know where you've come from, because 9 times out of 10, I've been where you are. So trust the process in your own life. And if I could be of assistance to you, please do call me again at 734-288-7189. And I would be more than happy to love on you, appreciate you, listen to you, but most of all, coach you into a living a better quality of life that you so desire to live. All right, make sure that you tune in to next week's show on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We don't have our topic information together just yet, but sometime during the week we will get that together. Make sure you tell everybody about the show. You know, the number to call in is 917-932-8881. It's always available for you to, you know, chime in on the show and, you know, weigh in on the discussion, because we love for people to call, you know, call in and discuss. I mean, I know a lot of people like to tune in and just listen because they love receiving the knowledge. So that's okay, too. We appreciate your presence and always the support that you show to the Poetic Energy Network station. And we look forward to our continued growth here on the network and moving forward as the Most High sets paths and open up doors and windows for us. We so look forward to the continued growth. Make sure you check out all of the shows throughout the week. We have Monday night conversations with the Queen with a wonderful sister that gives you definitely some great conversation. Tuesday, Here's to Our Health with Dr. Moulton Sproul. She gives you just some wonderful health tips. On Wednesdays, we have psychotherapist Lori Coburn giving us a wonderful insight on life. It's just this whole network is just something that I wanted to build around just the betterment of others. And I like where we are going thus far. Thursday nights, we have, you know, to give you a little bit of entertainment with a Thursday night open mic with myself and Brother CBG. And then Saturday, Brother Yahusha. Give us a little bit of Hebrew spirituality, and, you know, and Brother Marvin Jackson giving us the latest news whenever he can. And on Sunday, of course, it's me with Life with Michelle of Me and Happy Life Coaching, where we are helping all push past you. And I hope that I've said something thus far to help you. And I look forward to, you know, you being my new client. Or you just being my radio listener out there. I appreciate you any way you come. All right, make sure you go out and tell people about the Spoken Word Billboard that's happening September 29th in the Canton, Michigan at the Village Theater. Ticket information, you can call 734-394-5300. That's the box office where you can reserve your ticket online. Or through them, you can get your tickets sent to you, mailed to you. So we're looking to have a great time. We're looking to fill 400 seats. So spread the word about the Spoken Word Billboard. It's for all the peoples in the arts. It's the celebration of the arts. That's all I can say is come out and appreciate, and we love all your support. And we want to just say God bless. Have a great evening. And we'll see you at the same place, the same time next week. You've been listening to Life with Michelle, where I am helping all push past you. And I'm going to say good night and see you next time. Bye now.